Amen. And the message on Friday night was, he knows already.
Right.
He was saying how I don't want to serve a God that don't know tomorrow from today. Amen.
Yeah.
I don't want to serve a God that can't see into tomorrow. Amen.
Right.
Some people go to those soothsayers or fortune tellers. Amen. They don't know. There's no God like our God. Hallelujah.
Right.
Amen. So staying in that theme, amen. We went over that on Friday night. So I said, sang this in a long time. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear this.
When you
in the air. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And at this time,
I said, how many just came to praise the Lord? And truly, we pray that this time you are the visitor of our friend. Amen. We all God's people, but if you are a visitor or a friend, we pray that you feel a part of the agape family. Amen. Thank God for all of the great testimonies, all of the great songs.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, I don't know those people that say church is boring.
Not here.
Come on. I don't know about those people that say church is boring.
Come on, Alan.
Amen. We just thank God. We're going to ask you to stand for our scripture reading. If I were a singer, and if I were to sing a song, I would sing, I've been running for Jesus.
All right now.
I said, I've been running for Jesus a long time. And guess what? I said, I've been running for Jesus a long time. And I'm not
tired
yet. Every day I've experienced God's blessings. Amen. When I think God can do any more, to my amazement, He turns around and does exceeding abundant above all that I could ever ask or think. I get confused. As a child, I used to hear about God. I get confused when I get up and I feel dust and don't like to keep God in a while. How can you make it in the world without God? You know, as we watch the script of the skit, as Sister Maggie said, that even though it was a skit, it is actually a true representation of our lives. God is constantly around us and trying to keep us and protect us. And the devil is constantly trying to get the advantage. Amen. Can you imagine? He gives you all the things that were an attraction before you got saved to try to bring you back out into the world. And then once he gets you out there, he tries to make sure he can try to kill you or have you kill yourself. And the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. And he has blinded the minds of them who you don't have faith. You play right into the devil's hands. When you don't trust God, you play right into the devil's hands, because that's the time he will blind you through deceit. Amen. Our scripture reading will be coming from Psalms, the 34th division of Psalms. We're going to read verses 1 through 9. Amen. We could read the whole book and keep on reading.
All right.
Well, for the sake of time, we're just going to read 1 through 9. And as we're reading, let's remember the skit. Let's remember Sister Maggie's testimony. The devil was trying to destroy her, just like he's trying to do many of us this afternoon. Amen. Sometimes he doesn't try to destroy us by killing us. But he tries to destroy us by making us lose confidence in God, because of something that man or someone else has done to us. How many of us have lost confidence in God? Not because of what God has done, but because of what some individual, whether they're in the church or out of the church, whether they're to leadership in the church, lost confidence in God and stopped seeking His face. I like the psalmist. He said, early will I seek you.
Right.
Now, a lot of people think that early means I do it early in the morning, but what the psalmist was saying, Lord, before the trouble come.
Thank you, Jesus.
Before hard times come. Before the tests come. Before the trial come, I would have already made my spiritual preparations. I would have already had a little talk with Jesus. Because a little talk with Jesus, come on, a little talk that Jesus makes everything all right. Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them. Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for the mind that we have to assemble ourselves together. Lord, we thank you for the freedom, the privilege that we have, Lord God, to lift our eyes and voices to your holy hill. Lord, we thank you this afternoon, oh God, for how good you've been to us. In spite of, Lord, you've still been good. Lord, I say in spite of, you've still been good. Lord, we thank you on this afternoon for a mind and an ear to hear what the Spirit will say unto the church. Now, Lord, we ask you to speak to us through thy word of anointing. Lord, break yokes this afternoon. Lord, set at liberty those that are captive. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you loose spirits that have bound. Lord God, we ask you, oh God, this afternoon for a free mind, hallelujah, to receive thy word. And Lord, we lift up our brethren on foreign fields. Lord, we pray for the persecuted church. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters that are having it so hard. Lord, we lift them up even there in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for all the churches in the Capital District. Lord, continue to order their steps. Lord, lead them. Lord, guide them in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, our heart's desire this afternoon is that you speak for thy servant here. And Lord, we acknowledge at this time that without you, we can do nothing. Lord, except you stop by. Lord, except your spirit move. All of our labors in vain, but for this, Lord, we know, we thank you. In advance of what we know you're going to do, can we all say in Jesus' name? God is good.
All right.
I said God is
good.
God is good how often?
All the time.
You know, when you come to church, you need to, you know, some of us, we come to church, we got a lot of reservations. We got to sit down. We got to sit the right way. We got to do the right way. Bible said, let the redeemed.
All right.
Lord, you've called me. Lord, you save me. Lord, you heal me. Lord, you protect me. Let the redeemed of the Lord
say so.
And I'm so glad he ended it right there. He didn't say you got to look your best. He didn't say you don't. I don't have no mascara, but for those that do, he didn't say you don't have to cry and get the mascara right now.
Right.
You got to learn to come to church and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Amen. Somebody said, let go and let God. Don't come in here all bottled up and holy. God's trying to get in. The devil's fighting in your mind. Yesterday, yesteryear, all the trouble to fight. Just let it go. Let God have his way.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We are, you see, we're not interested in the fashion of salvation. Fashion of salvation, when you go home, you got to practice how to do everything just right. Be real. Just be real. Lord, however you hit me, however you move, just touch me. Some say, let God look, let God have his way. Amen. God is good. But it's like anything. you only gonna get out of it? What you put into it. You can't come to church and be so enraptured with your situations and the conditions that are going on everywhere else. Then I heard somebody say, you come to church and you miss your blessing.
Right.
Everybody is shouting. They said, well, I didn't hear that because you weren't here mentally. Let go and let God have his way. All right, let's go to Isaiah chapter 46. We're going to read verses. We're not the conventional church. So we just believe in being free in the spirit, not foolish in the spirit. It's a difference between foolish in the spirit and free in the spirit. But if you shout, if your shout is not like everybody else's shout, that's all right. And a lot of time I've heard different ones make the mistake of saying, well, you shouldn't do this because you don't sound as good as that one, or you don't do it like that one. We give God our best. And God honors our best.
Thank you, Jesus.
We don't have to do it like brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or minister and elder. Just give God your best. Give him what you have from your heart. There's a difference between God giving God what you have from your heart and from your flesh.
Right.
For your flesh, when you're doing, you're saying, see me. We're not talking about that. We say, do it for your heart. In other words, dear Lord, I come withholding nothing. Lord, I'm not going to hold back the tears if I feel like crying. I'm not going to hold back by raising my hand if something has touched me. And if God is moving, I'm not going to hold back my shout if I want to get out in the eyes. We're not trying to prototype salvation. We said just be saved. Prototype means you got to fit the pattern that everybody else is doing. You know, they got to shout, you got to do the one step, two step. No, just do your thing.
You're
doing that, man. Don't care about all that. Man, that's what salvation is about. Be you. And give God your best. But when you come to church, give God something.
All right.
Amen. Don't sit back there all reserved and dignified. Let God have something. And then you'll feel God moving on you. You'll feel God touching you. Isaiah 46:3. God is a good God. People can fail. There are many letdowns and disappointments, but never in God. Isaiah 46, we're going to read three verses of scripture, that being verses 3 and 5. Lately, we've been going over, there is no God like our God. There is no God that can do what our God can do. No God like our God. Verse 3 reads, hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which were born by me from the belly. God said, now when you were come out the belly, I bore you. Now this has followed this train of thought. This is how good God is to every last one of us. He said, from the belly which are carried from, God said, even when you were in the womb, I had my eyes on you. I protected you. I kept you. Verse 3 reads, and even to your old age, I'm the same God. When you were in the womb, God said, I was God and I protected you.
Hallelujah.
When you came out of the womb, I'm still that same God. He said, now in your old age, I'm still God.
Yes.
I change not. He said, I am he, and even to he to bear, even to horse hairs, which I will. God said, even when the hair is getting gray, I'm still God. You were young, I was God. Before you were born, I was God. After birth, I was God. through all your foolish decisions, I was God. Then when you got old, guess what? I was still God.
Right.
There is nobody else that can give you that testimony. That in your womb, I was watching over you. We pray for the womb, but we can't watch over. And the Lord goes on to say in the latter part of that, he said, and I will bear. Not only was I watching you, God said, not only did I keep you, but I will bear. We've all heard the porn about the footprints in the sands. God said the times when you could carry yourself, that's the time that I carried you. What he's telling the children of Israel and Judah, he said, I've been carrying you for a long, long time. From birth to old age, he said, I am still God. I said, from birth to old age, he said, I'm still God. He said, I carried you, and most of all, I will deliver you. What a mighty God we serve. Sometimes you will have to ask yourself the question, if God has been this faithful and good to me, how faithful and good have I been in exchange to him? How have I shown God how grateful I am for how good that he's been to me? And in verse 5 it says, to whom will ye? Now God said, I'm telling you all that I've already done for you. Now I challenge you to compare someone to whom you can liken me. No God like our God.
Right.
He said, and make me equal and compare me that we may be like. In other words, God is saying, how do you forgive me? How do you let go of what I've done for you? When you were young, I had you. Through the trials of your young age, I still had you. When you got up at age and made all the right decisions, God said, I still had you. Then when you got old and couldn't help yourself, he said, I was carrying you still. He asked the children of Israel, if I be a God, where is my honor? If I be your father, where is my reverence? What respect do you give to me for how good I've been to you? Hallelujah. The nights when you thought you weren't going to make it, God said, I carried you. No God like our God. Let back to Psalm 34. He's a mighty God. He's a wonderful God. In essence, what God was saying to them was, I've been watching over you ever since you came into existence. And I've carried you. Where is my honor? Where is your appreciation that you show me for how good you've been? Where is it at? God said, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't be here. I did all of this for you. Now on the flip side, the question is, I heard him say, what have you done for me lately? I heard that. I don't know what that means, but that's what I heard. But in all seriousness, what have we done for God lately? I was talking to a gentleman the other day. I said, we were talking. I said, well, so we got down. I said, so how often do you go to church? He said, well, I don't really go to church that much. I said, well, wait a minute. You don't go to church that much. He said, well, I really haven't been to church in a while. I said, well, I'm confused. He said, well, why are you confused? I said, because it wasn't for God giving you the breath of life. If it had not been for God watching over, protecting, and keeping you, you wouldn't be here. You ever have someone do something for you and it's something unexpected? What is the normal thing to do when somebody does something for you? You reciprocate it by telling them what?
Thank you.
You ever have a bill you couldn't pay and somebody paid for you? Boy, you'd be so happy. You say what? What God does before us day in and day out. And all He wants us to do is say thank you. Well, Lord, how do we say thank you? The scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. When you come together, that is how we tell God thank you. Now the psalmist said it this way, I will bless the Lord and when it's up and when it's down. When it's good and when it's bad, he said, I will bless the Lord at
all times.
Even at my low point, his
praise
shall be in my lips. Amen. I don't understand what I'm going through, but I'm going to still keep praising.
Right.
I don't understand where this trial is coming from, but I'm going to keep on praising. Why? Because I'm not praising.
The psalmist said, I sought the Lord and he
heard me.
Why do I need God in my life? Because he said he delivered me out of. There's not a person living that doesn't have fears. But he said, the Lord delivered me out of A-L-L, all my fears. There's no God like our God. Amen. We can protect and we can give someone a little soothing. But there's no one that can deliver like God can deliver. Out of what? All of my fears. Verse 6 reads, this poor man cried in the Lord. Lord, in my deepest trials and troubles, when I don't know where to go or what to do, I'm going to cry out to my Savior. I'm going to cry out to my God. I'm going to ask God to stop by here and see about me. And the good blessing is that in all of our troubles, God will deliver. We have gotten so confused today that we think that we can, a man, an individual, or somebody. And listen, it's not the church that does it. The church is just a house. It's just a building. It's God that does it. It is God that does it. But you got to go to him. You got to seek him. You got to ask him. This poor man did what? He didn't cry to another man. He cried out to God. This poor man cried, and the Lord, God says, my ears will open up to the prayers of the righteous. Righteous means do the best for God with the knowledge you have and do everything you know to please him. That's righteous. Your best for God with all of your ability to the best of the knowledge you have to please God, that is righteous. When you do everything to the best of your ability to please God, his ears are open unto your cry. Amen. He may not come when you expect him. He may not come when you want him. But our God is an on-time God. Yes, he is. I say he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Lord, I need some help. God says, I'm hearing you. I've already been watching. You know, the good thing about God is most of the time, not but all the time, God already knows what you're going through. But he said, I'm just waiting. Lord, what are you waiting for? For you to ask for help. God is just waiting for us to ask for help. God said, well, I've been with you since you were in the womb. I've been watching you since you got old. Now ask me for help and let me help you. Many of us lay awake all night long. But the song said, Jesus will fix it after a while. Let him help you. Stop struggling by yourself. God qualifies his very existence and help for us. He said, from the womb to death, I watched and carried you. Why do you forget me? Why do you turn a deaf ear? Why do you not lift your voice to the only source of help? And that's who? God. So he goes on to say, the angel of the Lord. Lord, I need some help. Just like the woman in the skit. When you get in so much trouble, you need some what? Help. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that. But not only does he encamp around you, but he also will deliver you. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and he will. And so after hearing and knowing all of this, this is your challenge. Oh, taste. When you taste something, that means you have to do what? Partake in it. You got to get mixed up in it. You cannot taste food by looking at it from a long distance. Right? We got some sweet potato pies we're going to give away today after service. I got some sweet
why I was at it. But I want you to taste it from the church by looking at it.
Right.
Right? When we get ready to give you those pies, I want all of you to partake in those pies by sitting over here in the pews and looking at it. How good does it taste? Right?
All right.
So in order for you to be to taste it, you have to do what? Get involved. You gotta touch it. God says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is in your trials, in your tests, in your situations. I was in my mind, I was really thinking about it. You can't taste it unless you touch it. All that crying and feeling sorry and staying home and depressed, you did not taste him. Because to taste him, you have to get involved with him. Like I said, all of those of you that want to taste those pies, if I'm going to bring them up here, I'm going to just wave them just like this. It's okay, you're on full. Take it back to the refrigerator. It won't work. If you starve now on a dry land and I bring it in front of you, I can stampede it because you're hungry. But in order for you to be a partaker, you gotta do what? Get involved.
That's
right. Yeah. So many of us are trying to get blessings from God, but we won't really get involved with God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? How do you have a testimony that God delivered you until you finally go through the test?
Right.
How do you get that testimony if you don't go through the test? And then after I've been through the test, after God has moved on my body and touched me, then I'll be able to say the Lord is good and his mercy endures. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the latter part says what? Blessed is the man that what? You can't taste. You can't touch God if you don't trust him. How can God help you if you don't trust him? How many of you learned to ride a bicycle with training wheels years ago? I did. Right? Parents? Today I know you all do it differently, but way back when we used to have the training wheels on bikes in the back. But the person would take the training wheels off, and then as you were riding the bike, they would hold on to you. But you had to trust them. Because if you didn't trust them, you guess what? You wouldn't ride the bike. Then as you're riding, they say, oh, you're doing good. And they go on the bike, but you don't know it. They just still running and talking to you. You're doing so good. Keep going. Just keep moving. Then the voice gets farther and further away. And all of a sudden, they stop and fall off the bike. But guess what? For the last 10 minutes, you were riding that bike. And they weren't even holding you. Trust is this. God, I don't know what the outcome is going to be. But one thing I have in my assurance is that you know the outcome and you're in charge.
Right.
We need to stop trying to do the things in our lives that God needs to do. If you trust him, you get involved with God.
Yes.
Now, there's a common complaint that I've been let down so many times by so many people. What about God? God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you always. Well, you don't know what this was done. Okay, they probably have done it, but what about God? What has God done to you? How has God let you down? How has God disappointed you? Jeremiah asked the children of Israel the question. He said, I see that you all are so far away from God. You don't pray like you used to pray. You don't praise him like you used to praise him. You don't come to church, Israel, like you used to come to church. So Jeremiah asked him a question. He said, well, I see all of this. He said, my only question to you is, what iniquity or what fault did you find in God that you've gone so far away from Him? As we stand this afternoon, many of us have gone so far away from God. We're not talking about in the physical body, we're talking about in the spirits of our mind and our actions. We are so far away from God. But brothers and sisters, the question that we have to address is, what did God do to you to make you get so far away from Him? What iniquity have we found in God that we've gone so far away from? That we don't come to church like we used to come to church. That we don't pray like we used to pray. That we don't even see God's face like we used to. What iniquity have we found in God? There is no fault in Him. Pilate, as he examined Jesus, he realized that there was a man standing before him that was innocent. And Pilate turned to the people, he says, I find no fault. We would never find fault with God, because God only does us good and not evil. So my challenge to you today is, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen.